morning and welcome to the broadcast of the Divine Service at Zion Lutheran Church in Chippewa Falls. To help you follow along, the order of worship for today's service is available under the radio tab at our website, zionlcmscf.org. The Lord bless you today through the hearing of His Word.
Good morning. He is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. The second Sunday of Easter, we're following Divine Service setting one. So in your hymnal, it's page 151 is where it begins. And for those listening on the radio, allow me to let you know what our hymns are. Our opening hymn is 487, Come Ye Faithful, Raise the Strain. Hymn of the Day is 471, O Sons and Daughters of the King. During distribution, 490, Jesus Lives, the Victory is Won. 467, Awake My Heart with Gladness. 563, Jesus, My Blood and Righteousness. Closing hymn, 480, He's Risen, He's Risen. Also, today, tomorrow is registration deadline for Wilderness Walk. Encourage you who have 5th to 12th graders or know people 5th to 12th grade, or if you want to help out, see Chris and Jones. That's the event takes place the 27th. It will be a lot of fun for everybody. So please see Christine. And I'll save the rest of the announcements for after the service. So let us begin with the opening hymn, 487. Thank you. Please stand. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. We allow silence to reflect on God's word and for self-examination. Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you, God,
word and deed, by what you have done and by what you have done. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We just deserve your love.
Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Return to your insert to sing together the introits.
Thank you.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Glory to God in the highest, and peace to his people on earth. Let us pray. Almighty God, grant that we who have celebrated the Lord's resurrection may by your grace confess in our life and conversation that Jesus is Lord and God through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. You may be seated for the reading. First reading for the second Sunday of Easter is from Acts chapter 4. The full number of those who believed were of one heart and soul, and no one said that any of the things that belonged to him was his own, but they had everything in common. With great power, the apostles were giving their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. There was not a needy person among them, for as many as were owners of lands or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of what was sold and laid it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to each as any had need. This is the word of the Lord. We turn to the instrument and sing together with gradual. Is from 1 John chapters 1 and 2. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we looked upon and have touched touch with our hands concerning the word of life. The life was made manifest. We have seen it and testify to it and proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and was made manifest to us. That which we have seen and heard, we proclaim also to you, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And we are writing these things so that our joy may be complete. This is the message we have heard from Him and proclaim to you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with Him, what we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. My children, I'm writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. This is the word of the Lord. And in honor of the gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 20th chapter. On the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked for the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." He had said this, He showed them His hands and His side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." And when He had said this, He breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of anyone, they are forgiven. If you withhold forgiveness from anyone, it is withheld." Now Thomas, one of the 12, called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We've seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see in His hands the mark of the nails, and place my finger in the mark of the nails, place my hand into His side, I will never believe." 8 days later, His disciples were inside again, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then He said to Thomas, "Put your finger here, and see my hands. Put your hand out and place it in my side. Not disbelieve, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." And Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in His name. This is the Gospel of the Lord. You may be seated as we continue with the hymn of the day. Thank you. To you and peace from God our Father, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We continue the story of the resurrection, which we started last Sunday. This Sunday it's referred to by some as Low Sunday, and we don't know the origin of this. It goes a long way back. It may be because it's low relative to the high feast day of Easter. Come down from that. Some have said it may be referred to as low because, well, the attendance tends to be low the Sunday after Easter relative to Easter. And when attendance is low, we do wonder where is everybody? You know, why aren't more people here? Any Sunday, we wonder where our friends are, our family members, people from the community. We wonder, why aren't they here? And but we know not everybody is a Christian. We know not everybody. We don't expect necessarily those people be here that they don't believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, the crucified and risen Lord and Savior. Like, we've been given this faith and this assurance. We also know that there are some people, they consider themselves to be Christian. These are people we know, we've talked to them, but for some reason they don't attend church. And so we find out what their reasoning is, and, you know, there's something more important, or they, for some reason, don't think it's necessary, and so they're not here. But we know that if people did believe, if they did understand who is here and why we gather, they would be here, or at another Christian church. Jesus is here, and he gathers us here to give us the fruits that he won for us on the cross, the fruits of his crucifixion wounds, we could say. And the texts today, all of them,
They talk about some of these fruits delivered to the church, even at that first Easter service. One of the fruits we receive in church is forgiveness of sins. From John's Gospel, Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I'm sending you." And when he said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. And if you withhold forgiveness from any, it is withheld." Jesus gave the church this authority to forgive sins and to withhold forgiveness of sins. We call this the office of keys. You receive forgiveness from Christ. It's delivered to you personally when you come to church. And you are enabled to forgive others. As you've been forgiven, you're able to forgive others. We also receive this confidence for the day of judgment. We hear God's word. John says of his inspired word, he says, "These are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name." These words are delivering faith and life. And in his epistle, John says, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Right? The same Christ is our advocate. He is the propitiation for our sins. He's, in other words, made satisfaction for all the demands of the law. And not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. So Jesus has not only done everything necessary to take the demands of the law for our sins, but he's done it for everyone's sins. And the words we receive in church, well, they're not just for us, they're also for others. Another fruit of Christ's crucifixion wounds is communion with one another, fellowship. Christ gathered us together for one another here and throughout his entire church, wherever it is, we're part of it. That we share the same gospel, we share the same scriptures. We, by believing, we have life together in his name. These are even the same gospel, scriptures, belief, life that the early church shares with us, that we read about in Acts. And as Christ loved us, we are to love one another. He enables us to do that. He gives us others to love our families and our church families. We bring our needs to the church, and we help our fellow believers, brothers and sisters in Christ, with their needs as we are able. What we receive from God through Jesus enables us to love and to serve others. We help those who are not here by reaching out and bringing them here with us. Not because of us, but because of Jesus. We hear in our gospel that Thomas missed church on that first Easter Sunday. He missed Jesus. He missed the fruits of his wounds. On the day of his resurrection, Jesus went to his disciples. They're frightened. They're worried. They're confused. They're sad. He showed himself to them physically. The resurrected Jesus, their beloved rabbi, spoke peace to them. Show them his wounds, his pierced hand, opening his side from that spear. This is evidence of who he is and what he has done for them. For you. He gave them the keys, the kingdom, the power and authority to retain, to withhold forgiveness of sins. Jesus didn't come in anger to punish and to scold. John said Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." He said this, he showed them his hands and his side, and the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. That was a good church service, especially when you consider where they were at before Jesus had arrived, afraid, confused, sad, doubting. Jesus' presence, his words, removed all that. It certainly was a good church service. Thomas missed it. He wasn't there. Not the why, but we know when they tell him, because they go on telling, "Hey, Jesus is here." Well, he refuses to believe it. He said to them, unless I see in his hands the mark of the nails, place my finger to the mark of the nails and place my hand into his side, I'll never believe. And the following Sunday, Thomas is with the others and something remarkable happens. Although the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, peace be with you. Then he said to Thomas, put your finger here and see my hands. Put out your hand and place it in my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe. I'd like you to put yourself in Thomas' situation for a moment and consider how remarkable this is. You just said that you would never believe unless you touch and poke those open wounds of the resurrected Lord. That you come personally, specifically, to respond to this absurd demand. Was Jesus angry? Did he come to punish you for missing church or for doubting or for making absurd demands? With the help of Matt, I'm going to hand out for you a copy of a famous painting of this event. It's from 1601 by an artist named Caravaggio. You may have seen it. This is Thomas sticking his finger into the wound. And there's 50 copies. Lord, I ask you to share if I can help with that. Or maybe you better do it so I keep talking. Although I was telling somebody who was going to do this, they said, they're going to stop listening. Well, you heard most of the sermon already, so. No, this is a visual illustration, but as I said, consider Thomas, the predicament he's in. He's made this, you know, really is absurd demand. And if you're squeamish, to, you know, you don't have to take it if you don't like finger sticking in an open wound. It's striking. And as you look at this, pay attention to the faces, you know, give special consideration to the faces. There are two other disciples along with Thomas and Jesus. And so you see the intense looks that they have, and they're amazed. They're astonished. They're fascinated. One, Jesus is right there within the flesh. That's the most amazing thing. He's died. They know this. He was buried. He's there in the flesh. And now they're interacting physically, right? But also, consider how remarkable Jesus is. He is gentle, calm, gracious. He's guiding the hand of Thomas into his side. He is willing, if you will, to let Thomas do this. So that Thomas might know, so that Thomas might believe. He wants Thomas and those other disciples and you and me to believe. He didn't come to condemn them for lack of faith. He came to bring forgiveness. He came to bring peace and faith in himself. This is our Lord. This is our advocate. This is our propitiation for our sin. For Thomas' sins, for the disciples' sins, the sins of the whole world. This is Jesus coming personally, gently, graciously, intentionally to his doubting disciple. He's meeting him where he's at. He's bringing him forgiveness, peace, faith. I would say it works because Thomas' answer is commendable. My Lord and my God. Praise God. He received faith. And he made that confession. That was a good church service, Thomas. Right? He's glad he was there. Now this painting is an artist's depiction of the event. So we don't know how the people looked. But we do have the words. These words that the Lord has preserved, recorded for us, words that were written that you may believe. Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, that by believing you may have life in his name. The words of God tell who Jesus is and what he has done for you And for those who are not here today, including those who are doubting or confused or afraid, and I should say for those listening on the radio, if you want to see a picture, just let me know, call me, email me, we'll get you a picture. But think about those people who aren't here, who aren't able to listen on the radio, and how many people do we know who stay away from church because, well, they don't know Jesus, they don't really know who he is, they don't know the blessings that he brings to those who we gather here, we come here to receive his word, his fruits, his sacrament. We can tell them, we can tell them that they crucified Jesus, he's risen, he wants them to believe, he promises to come to us here in church, to his word, to his sacraments. This is why we gather, this is why he calls us here, and he comes to deliver forgiveness, the forgiveness he's won for them on the cross. He comes to give them faith and confidence in him for that day of judgment. He comes to bring them into fellowship with him, fellowship with the Father, fellowship with all the children of God, with us, so that he may care for us through one another. We may receive care through this church. You can tell others, you can show others who Jesus is, what he's done for them, and you can bring them here where Jesus will come to them personally, where they're at, in their fears, their doubts, and their confusion, like he does for us, to bring forgiveness and peace and faith and fellowship. Peace be with you. Amen. And may that peace that passes all understanding keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Stand and turn to page 159. Together we'll confess our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. For the whole church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Heavenly Father, your Son is the firstborn from the dead, and in him we have been reborn into a new living hope. Nurture us with the pure milk of your word that we may grow to maturity, faith, and have everlasting life. Lord, in your mercy, grant to those ordained for your service the gift of the Spirit, wisdom that comes down from heaven, and grace to faithfully fulfill their holy calling where you have placed them. Lord, in your mercy. As your people are united in the common life and love our Savior, grant that we will share that life and love with those in need. Lord, in your mercy. Build up the households of your people, that by your holy children begotten in baptism may grow in your grace and share together in your forgiveness and life. Lord, in your mercy. You have instituted authorities to carry out your justice. Bless all who make, administer, and judge the laws of our land. Give them wisdom, integrity, and honor to serve according to your good will. Lord, in your mercy. As your Son's wounds brought gladness and peace to the troubled disciples, give your presence and comfort to the troubled in our midst, especially Dan, Ben, Lois, Joanne, Mark, Lewis, Aline, Elijah, Marlis, Tim, Ruth, Lacey, Bernard, Haley, Mike, Doris, Arlene, Michael, Carol, Mark, Alexa. Alexis, Nancy, Ellis, Sarah, Kara, Marlis, Erno, and Ben. Comfort also those who weep, especially the family of Richard Taylor, with the blessed joy of Easter morning. Lord, in your mercy. Father of the risen Christ, you give us the crucified and risen body and blood of our Lord in this Holy Supper. Let us taste that the Lord is good and continually grow up unto salvation. Lord, in your mercy. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we thank you that out of your indescribable grace, you, for the sake of your Son, you have given us the Holy Gospel and instituted the blessed sacraments, that through them we may have comfort and the forgiveness of sin. Grant us your Holy Spirit, that we may heartily believe your word, and through the holy sacraments establish our faith day by day, until at last we obtain eternal salvation. Through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Receive the blessing of our Lord. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. You may be seated as the offering is collected. Salutary, that we should at all times and at all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, and most especially are we bound to praise you this day for the glorious resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ, the very Paschal Lamb, who was sacrificed for us and bore the sins of the world. By his dying, he has destroyed death, and by his rising again, he has restored us to us everlasting life. Therefore, with Mary Magdalene, Peter, and John, and with all witnesses of the resurrection, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name evermore. more praising when saying. On those whom you created and sent your only begotten Son to our flesh to bear our sin and be our Savior. With repentant joy, we receive the salvation accomplished for us by the all-availing sacrifice of his body and his blood on the cross. Gathered in the name and the remembrance of Jesus, we beg you, O Lord, to forgive, renew, and strengthen us with your word and spirit. Grant us faithfully to eat his body and drink his blood as he bids us do in his own testament. Gather us together, we pray, from the ends of the earth to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb and his kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers, deliver and preserve us. To you alone, O Father, be all glory, honor, and worship, with the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you, the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." As often as we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.
Amen.
O Lord Jesus Christ, only Son of the Father, in giving us your body and your blood to eat and to drink, you lead us to remember and confess your holy cross and passion, your blessed death, your rest in the tomb, your resurrection from the dead, your ascension into heaven, and your coming for the final judgment. So remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, of the Lord be with you always. Thank you.
the table of the Lord.
Take and eat, this is the very body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given into death for you. Take and eat, this is the very body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given into death for you. Take and eat, this is the very body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given into death for you. Take and eat, this is the very body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given into death for you. Take and eat, the very body of Christ, given into death for you. The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve you in body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace. Body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve your body and soul, life everlasting. Depart in peace. Thank you.
everlasting. Depart in peace.
Thank you for tuning in to the Divine Service at Zion Lutheran Church in Chippewa Falls. May the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. If you have any prayer requests, please let us know. You may call us at 715-723-6380 or stop by and visit 110 East Grand Avenue in Chippewa Falls. If you're looking for a church home, we'll gladly tell you more about Zion or help you find a congregation near you. These broadcasts are paid for by generous gifts made to our radio fund. If you'd like to contribute, click the Give tab on our website, zionlcmscf.org, or send a check to Zion Lutheran Church Radio Fund, 110 East Grand Avenue, Chippewa Falls, Wisconsin, 54729. Zion is a member of the Lutheran Church, Missouri City.